Hello, teachers. We're in session six today, looking at the Summer in Psalm series. And today we're going to be looking at how everyone should recognize Jesus as Messiah because of these three roles that Jesus encompasses, I guess.
So Psalm 110, Damon, hi, how are you? Psalm 110 is a messianic psalm, and it's definitely talking about like future things. We know that because of Hebrews. Hebrews kind of talks about that a little bit, but there's definitely messianic overtones here. And it's a short psalm, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so, this is going to be really cool. Cause it kind of like, this is really all about helping us have a perspective on Jesus, and like thinking rightly about him. So it's actually pretty incredible. Don't you think that like we have the ability to like read about prophecy and poetry, and like this kind of validates the Bible. Well, actually, this doesn't validate the Bible in the sense that like it hasn't happened yet, but it validates in the sense that it kind of already has happened a little bit. Like Jesus has come the first time, we can be assured he's going to come the second time. So anyway,
yeah,
pretty incredible.
Yeah, so, it definitely builds off of last week's lesson in that sense.
Yeah. So what's our objective statement?
Everyone should recognize Jesus as Messiah because of these three roles.
Okay. And we see the first role is king. So we see him like kind of presented as king. Why don't you read verses 1-3?
Psalm 110, verse 1-3 says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth."
This is a pretty incredible passage. The Lord said unto my Lord, this is brought up, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 1, I believe, and then in Acts 2 and in Hebrews 10, it talks about seeing Jesus Christ being on the right hand of God. This is in Hebrews 10:13, it talks about expecting his enemies to be his footstool. So you've got like the Lord saying to my Lord, you know, talking to Christ, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. Footstool means like complete conquering. Like, so you have this throne language, you have ruling in verse 2, ruling in the midst of the enemies. You have in verse 3, people following, people like his followers, his subjects, obeying him. And then so you have this like kingly language, and of course we know that Christ is going to come back and he's going to rule as king and literally sit on, in Zion. There it talks about verse 2 in Zion, talking about Jerusalem, you know, which gets brought up here in the next section too. Christ literally ruling and reigning from Jerusalem on David's throne. And so that's what we see. David calling him my Lord. This is what gets brought up in the New Testament. If David's calling him Lord, but it's his future kid, then it's like this is obviously messianic. So there's that kind of aspect to it too. So this is clearly a picture of Jesus. It's him sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and God making his enemies his footstool. He's going to conquer his enemies, and that's what's going to happen. So you have this, his first role is king.
Yeah. And we can edit this out.
Yeah.
But in the last part of the verses, it says in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, that kind of the beauties of holiness from the womb. I don't know. This is why we might edit it out, but is that pointing towards how Jesus was born on earth, the king, right?
Okay.
In like Luke, and we're talking right. Like when Jesus comes, he's born And then it says, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Is that kind of talking about like the ministry that he had in his youth to some degree?
He died at 33.
Yeah, and now he's experiencing that as the king in these verses. I don't know.
I definitely think that like Jesus, when he comes and then into eternity, right? Mm-hmm. He's not up in heaven aging. Mm-hmm. He's not in heaven. He's not like, man, it's been 2,000 years. He's like decrepit. Like he's probably in the same state that he was in. He does have a body still. And so like, I think, so when he comes back, I don't think he's going to look 2,033 years old.
Well, and he's going to have an earthly kingdom that he correct. Established and, or that he.
Apparently he's going to live 1,000 years. He's living, it's going to be something different than, mm-hmm. than what it is now in terms of his age expectancy. And so there, yeah, I think there's something like a constant vigor of youth, as one commentator put it. So I think, yeah, he's going to rule and reign as king. And that may be what that's referring to.
Yeah.
I don't know that you need to edit it out. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that leads us to our second role that Jesus, that we see Jesus in, and that should point to him as Messiah, and that's priest. And so it's in verse 4, it says, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
The priests that were in the Old Testament were after the order of Aaron. Mm-hmm. There was an Aaronic Levitical priesthood. And so that was an order after the Old Covenant. So in Leviticus, they're literally taught how to make sacrifices, how to do everything in that earthly tabernacle, how to move about that, there's the washings and the ceremonies and the offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, all these different things that were all pointing to the real thing. Melchizedek was the king of Salem, or the king of Jerusalem. Salem is peace or righteousness. And so Melchizedek was this priest, but he was also a king. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, he's prophet. Jesus is a prophet, priest, and king. And his intercessory work between man and God is not by the blood of bulls and goats. It's by his own blood, right? And he's the sacrifice. He's the priest. And he laid down his life for his friends. So so now you have this king who's reigning forever. And it's based on the fact that he is now ruling and reigning and interceding on behalf of his people to God, right? So that's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like that role is very clearly seen in the text. And I think the next one is just as clear. The third role we're going to look at is victor. And so he's a king, he's a priest, and he's a victor. And that's what we were kind of pointing at in the introduction.
Right.
Is Jesus being victorious, and we're going to see God's promises fulfilled in Jesus reigning on earth as king and priest forever. And so in verse 5 and 6, we see the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head.
There are details here that we can't cover, but what you see in a general sense is with these three verses is a victorious king, a victorious conquering king. Mm-hmm. The day of the Lord is the day of judgment. That's how the millennial reign starts. He comes out and Jesus comes back and he conquers, right? And the blood is up to the horse's bridle. I know people think of that as happening before, but I think it's a future thing. He says to the birds, come and eat of their flesh. I mean, it's this dead bodies everywhere. That's what ends up happening at the beginning of the millennial reign. The wrath of God comes and destroys his enemies. And you have in verse 7 or verse 6, he shall wound the heads over many countries. He literally conquers the leaders of all these countries, and he is ruling and reigning as the only one. Verse 7, drinking the brook in the way. There's a sense in which this idea of lifting up the head is putting someone, restoring someone into a place of kingship. That was like to have your head lifted up means that you are now in charge. You are now king again. And I think that's what happens. I think Jesus asserts his right as king of earth. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and he's drinking the brook in the way. There's some that say that refers to Zechariah. There's this reference to the water coming in and out of Jerusalem. No matter what you believe about that, there definitely has this idea of like, I'm drinking water. It's over. I've conquered. I'm done. And I am now the king. And so you see Jesus winning. In his first coming, he comes meek and mild. In his second coming, he is conquering king. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So he's restoring order and justice, holiness in the world. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And I think everyone can clearly see Jesus is the Messiah when they look at what David wrote about him in these verses, and when they start to think about what we've seen fulfilled,
right?
And building off of last week, how we know that because of what we've seen fulfilled, we know God's faithful, and we know Christ is the Messiah, that he died for the sins, right, of the world, that we can put our faith and trust in him. And so I think this is a great opportunity for you to, as teachers, to make that as clear as day in class. And how does that apply to people who aren't saved, but also how does that apply to the way that we live light of Jesus being
our Savior? I think that there's a perspective from a lot of people about Jesus that's culturally this way, where that the view of Jesus, he had the kids come to him and sit on his lap. He's healing people. He's loving people. He's feeding people. And these are absolutely like aspects of his love and his grace and his mercy that we absolutely want to highlight. But like, I think some people they think of that part of Jesus, but they don't necessarily consider Jesus also to be holy and just and really in charge and in control. You know what I mean? They don't see him as like a perspective of Jesus that could be against me or be against my behavior or coming back to judge what I'm doing. There's kind of this like aspect, and we talk, doesn't God forgive? Like, God's just going to forgive. I think there's some people that, I think there are literally people, I've talked to them in witnessing where they're like, well, Jesus died on the cross, so my sins are just paid for, right? Like, what am I supposed to do? He died on the cross. Like, doesn't that just mean that then everybody's saved then because he died for sins? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, no, there has to be he's also Lord. You know what I mean? And so you have to put your trust in Christ. I'm not pushing a lordship salvation, but I think there is a recognition of exactly who he is. That has to be and included in that perspective is that he's in charge. He's God. And so I think, and it goes back to what we were talking about in the last lesson. He's coming back and we can trust and look for that, you know? So I think that's...
And he's victorious.
He wins. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's...
It seems like the devil's winning. Like, it really feels like that sometimes, but like, we can be confident that he's not going to.
Yeah, and I think this is a great opportunity for a gospel presentation. And
right.
Some people are going to respond better to their need for grace and their need for love. But you can't take out the fact that Jesus is the king, that he is going to be judging our sin. And some people will just respond better to that
right
element of it.
Right.
I think they need
it's
to know
both. It's not either or. They it's need not to either know or. Both. Right. It's both.
But this is a great opportunity for you to, it's in the text, to right. go through that part of it a little right. bit deeper.
Right. And there's coming a day where you can't respond to his love, mercy, and grace. You're just going to be judged.
Yeah.
So we gotta make sure we respond right. Today's the day of salvation. Teachers, I hope this helped you. I know that this is not an easy psalm, but I hope it will be something that encourages you and your people as you share the gospel and as you call them to repentance and looking for the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great day.